Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man, get some Hey Man watermelon lime in your life. A great weekend to try our beer. If you're not familiar with it, it's at most local package stores. Mike has one right now on Twitch. He's got both, actually. The original Hey Man El Blonde, which is tasty. But so is the beer of the summer, Mike. Hey
Bro.
Man El watermelon lime.
If you can keep it ice cold. What's colder than ice?
Ice cold.
Bro, it really is, man. After, the stops and starts of my rechargeable battery-operated lawnmower today, nothing like a refreshing watermelon lime as I wait for the batteries to recharge. More on that later in the show. Bro, last night, and I think, you know, we, if you give us, I said the whole week, give us some credit. We gave every Falcon fan, Carl, every single angle towards this draft. And I know you talked about Kyle Pitts later in the week. I love the idea of Justin Fields, but there was the financial reality to this that you've got a guy in Matt Ryan who, by the way, has missed 3 games in 13 years.
Say that again.
Matt Ryan has missed 3 starts in 13 years.
Now, when when I wrote that blog a while back, Mike, talking about Matt Ryan's not the issue, durability is a big part of that. And that's with crappy O-lines over the years, by the way. That's with him being hit a lot and sacked a lot. So go ahead. But I think that's a valid point when we talk about what he's been and what he's been able to do and what he hasn't been able to do. He's never complained about being hit or these injuries, but he hasn't been injured. He's been on the field.
Right, because A.J. McCarron has signed with the Falcons. He had backed up Deshaun Watson the last 2 years. He had been with the Bengals. And again, based on, Matt Schaub's one start in the last, 4 years, it's not really an issue, knock wood, with this team. And they may still double down on a quarterback. And, let's be honest, A.J. McCarron may still have to earn a roster spot this summer with the Falcons, but they do have a backup. So that's why I was looking up Matt's starts. Matt's been sacked 131 times the last 3 years. No one in Atlanta radio has been more critical of Matt Ryan than me. 15, I wrote a blog saying, let's go get Deshaun Watson. Deshaun stayed at Clemson, so it kind of made it a moot point. And the next year, Matt stuck it up my hanky by going and winning the MVP, and we were obviously a few plays here or there from winning the Super Bowl. I don't get it, Carl. There's a racial component to it. Some guys will only be satisfied if there's a stud black quarterback under center for this team, and it's a shame. You addressed it earlier. I don't care what color the quarterback is. I want to win football games. And Carl and I, we told you guys, they may take a flyer with Fields. They may go with Pitts. Pitts is the greatest athlete in this draft. And to have a quarterback sit for 2 years, Carl, while Matt, if you cut Matt tomorrow, the cap hit is $65 million. You can't do it. You just can't do it. So why invest in a quarterback? Apparently, guys, there was a connection that so many folks, Carl, made with Fields, and I like Fields. I was interested in him. You know that. But there'll be more quarterbacks. There'll be more dual-threat quarterbacks. down the road. But this thing really, unfortunately, got off the rails. Not with everyone, to your point, Carl, but there was a very vocal minority that got really upset about this last night and the last few hours.
So don't let the few speak for the many. And don't let the idiots, because there are plenty of them, speak for the smart Falcon fans who understand where this thing could potentially go. Now, I have said this, and I want to be clear, you know, in stating this. When we had Terry Fontenot on the first time, I asked him about the pressure of being the first black general manager in franchise history. And he said, no, I just get up, go to work, and I do what I do. And you know, there have been first in my career in being places where you just go do what you do. You don't wake up every day and go, I'm the only black general manager in franchise history. But understand this, for those who are caught up in that, okay? Not only is Terry Fontenot black, but so is Anthony Robinson, who's been here with the organization, who is the director of college scouting, and Dwayne Jones, who's the assistant director of college scouting. A majority of the front office is black. They're not selecting black quarterbacks solely on the fact that they're black. Stop it. It's so upsetting. It's disgusting, to be quite honest with you. Let's just go get the best players that we can get and win football games. So when I hear that notion that, oh, they didn't want Justin Fields, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. There's nobody that wants to move this agenda, if you want to call it that, or even the idea that if there's a qualified black quarterback out there that's worth getting, you go get him. We have guys in a position to do that now. So stop with that crap, okay? How do we get the guys that we have better? And when it comes time to replace Matt Ryan, trust me, he'll get replaced. But right now, that's not where we are. So I just want to put that conversation to bed, Mike, because those folks don't know what they're talking about when they start bringing that into this equation. That is not why they didn't draft Justin Fields. It had nothing to do with it. So with that said, let's be positive in the fact that we got a guy, Mike, that's a game changer, a difference maker. Mm. He is a guy that is going to cause issues with matchups. And here's the thing, and we'll ask Dave Archer about this. Most teams play nickel and dime, depending, meaning they have five or six defensive backs in passing down situations. The problem now with Pitts is, and I think Arthur Smith, he knows exactly what he wants to do with them, and we're not just talking about going two tight ends. I think there's some clarity that needs to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pick and choose who you're doubling. Now, when Julio's on the field, and I've always said this, Mike, no matter who we're playing, the week of Julio, the week that they're playing the Falcons, they go, where's 11? Now you got to go, where's whatever number he's going to wear, okay? Because you also have Calvin Ridley out there. He's going to wear 8. You also have Calvin Ridley out there. And now, don't forget, and I know he's kind of lost in this, Hayden Hurst is also a 4-4-4-5 guy. So you've got a bunch of speed on the field, mm-hmm. Mike, and you've got to choose whether I'm going to stay in my base defense or whether I'm going to go nickel or dime. And guess what? If you do that, you heard Dan Mullen earlier. You'll hear it at 6. Most guys are too small to match up with this dude.
Right. The guy is a stud. And by the way, if you didn't hear the interview, we replayed. Great conversation Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael had with him. He's a very impressive young man. He's 20. He's 20. You got a guy who's a freakish athlete. And Matt Ryan always has had success with good tight ends. And, you know, going back to Tony Gonzalez, I'm really excited about the matchups. And let's just check off some of the things and some of the objective things which you and I had to go round and round with some of the listeners earlier. Let's look at this objectively. We're in a situation with the cap. Matt's not going anywhere. I just laid it out. They didn't want to sit a guy on the bench for 2 years, not to mention the quarterback controversy, which would have been toxic in this city, from the things Carl and I just mentioned. You've got a guy who can create the mismatches Carl talked about. It's not an elite defensive draft. There are guys who may turn out to be Hall of Famers. Micah Parsons could be that guy. We may see Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn or any of these guys do that, Carl. But there was no trade partner to get out of 4. And by the way, if we traded out of 4, then you guys would kill the Falcons for that too anyway. It takes 2 to tango. The bench was set. The Dolphins fleeced the 49ers, and then the 49ers conned everybody. They were going with Mac Jones and took Trey Lance, and God bless them. They did a great job of poker face with that. But, Carl, we needed a trading partner if we were going to get out of this and address defense. We can still address defense in these next few rounds. You, a matter of fact, think we're going to address defense tonight in the second round.
I do, and I think it's the smart play because it's not as if you have everything sewed up on offense. We still need help on the O-line. There's no doubt. But there are some impactful first-round grade defensive players at the top of the second round, and we're picking 3rd. So you've got to make a decision, And I think it's been made already, by the way. Again, Hayes in the barn, they're not worried about this. I think they're going to be fine. But you got to make a decision, Mike, that we got to improve our defense. What's the best way to do that? I think it's value. If you're able to get a guy tonight with the second pick that should have been a mid to late first rounder, that's value. And then you turn right back around at the top of the third round and you were to do a similar thing depending on who's available, now you're in business. The value part of it, guys, is getting guys later than where they were projected, and it doesn't cost you as much, but you're still getting top talent, first-round type talent. That's what we've got to do in the second and third round, Mike. Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got Asante Samuel. You've got Azeez Ojulari, unless somebody's going to grab him. I know, and this is where it gets hard, guys, especially for folks, and I'm guilty as charged sometimes, Carl. I look at the draft like a Madden game sometimes. Javonte Williams, who you and I have spent a lot of time talking about the last few months with all of our analysts, all of our draft experts, he could be there. But I love Trevon Morrig, the kid out of TCU. I would really be excited about picking him up. You love, again, inside line Barmore, you've mentioned.
Defensive tackle, yeah.
Yeah, there's second and third tonight. But I will say this. The money is going to be made second, third, and fourth. And obviously, as you guys know, it's a long shot after that. But there's some really impactful offensive linemen, Carl, available now. And do you say, I've got to address guard because the model now is to score a ton of points like 2016 and the defense will, again, be turned over and will be young. So let's use a model that got us to the Super Bowl. What's wrong with that?
There isn't. And also, I think, you know, remember you said, it's Dukes and Bale, by the way. We got to get this in because it is a weekend, which means it's time for Domino's. Maybe you're chilling tonight. Maybe you're watching the draft. As always, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys. I did it the other night. It was glorious. They got all sorts of combos, guys. Multiples for $5.99. They've got three-topping pizza for $7.99, but they've also got car-side delivery. It's a carry-out-only option. You go to Domino's.com. They'll bring the pizza right to your car, throw it in the back. Go to Domino's.com tonight and watch the draft.
So you were saying that Arthur Blank, you know, was he influencing the team and which way they might go, and we had some fun with that. We're just kind of clowning around. But I will say this. Offense sells tickets. So if we do have one of the highest scoring teams in the league, you're going to want to go check it out. You want to see it in 16 because we were scoring on everybody. So I think, Mike, yeah, that part of it, it gets me excited to know that we can be in games that way. And if we got to outscore people, then we just got to outscore people. But, again, I always say this, and we didn't have a top five defense when we went to the Super Bowl.
No, that was
you just got to make some plays, man.
Right. That was a young, opportunistic defense. It wasn't as good as what the Saints had the year they beat the Colts. But, you know, look, don't forget, guys, we had a pick six in that Super Bowl. And then, unfortunately, our center was playing on one knee. And then everything broke down. And then our young defense got exposed. And then because Desmond Trufant wasn't out there, I have to remind you guys, you all saw what happened. Tom Brady started picking out a rookie. And that's how they won the Super Bowl, in addition to us not being clutch. Regardless, I think, Carl, if you're going to use that business model, there's starters right now. There's guys you can plug in right now at guard that can either move to center or tackle, depending on which way you go, interior or just old school offensive line tackle, in the second round if you commit to that. But, man, I mean, all the good stuff is right there. Now, the other thing, guys, do you believe, Carl, because of our cap situation, maybe we sacrifice some of our fifth rounders and we move up back into the third and the fourth round tonight and tomorrow?
Well, that's a real possibility because, again, we got nine picks. I said this all along. I don't know if we're going to keep all nine of these picks. You know, that's the thing. And you could package some of them and try to do a deal, especially in the fourth and fifth. I don't know about the sixth round per se, Mike, but the fourth and fifth round definitely. And right now we've got we got three fifth-round picks.
Hey, and by the way, all the toxicity and all the negativity that Carl and I talked about, maybe we're too close to it because we read social media and we're always following what's going on out there. I'll tell you this. I'm all in, Carl. I'm in for a penny. I'm in for a pound. And for all the things I've said about Matt, I'm so committed. I want to see Arthur Smith and this new team sticking up the naysayers, the blow-in, blow-out, the casual fan, the guy who has a Cowboys and Lakers and Yankees jersey in his locker, who only is interested in the Falcons when there's some sizzle. I want to see those fans have to suck it. I want to see this team get back in the playoffs. I hope Arthur Smith's got a plan. I really do. I know the cap situation really, really stinks, but, man, today in the last 24 hours being on social media, I'm so jazzed. I'm excited, man. You should be too because we got Kyle Pitts, who is one of the best players and, again, potentially has a chance to do some really special stuff here in Atlanta.
If you're not, hopefully you will be by the end of the draft. This is a test. We took the first part. We got an A. But the test is not complete. the test continues tonight and over the weekend. And then when we're done, we'll take a look at this on Monday and we'll see where we're at. But the first part has been pretty good. Coming up, Dave Archer is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts not only on last night, but looking ahead. And how do we maneuver this situation? Offense, defense, tonight, even if there's an offensive player that's there, do you risk taking that guy if he's the best player on the board? We'll talk to Dave Archer next.
Where's Loganville?
Hi.
Hey, it's John from John and Hugh in the Morning Show. Don't forget Sweet Tea, all those stories that we missed that you might have missed too, from Denitra on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, let's talk to our man Dave Archer, along with our guy Mike Conti, Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons. They had a great call last night, and they weren't calling a game. They were just, you know, doing the draft coverage, and it was great entertainment here on 92.9 The Game. So, Arch, first of all, great job last night on that. Let's talk about moving this story forward. I do want to get your thoughts on Kyle Pitts, but the approach now, because we're counting down less than an hour and 40 minutes away from round two starting, where do you see us going?
Well, I think you got to really attack, if you can you mesh best player on the board to some of your needs? I think that's going to be a little bit easier to do, Carl, as we get into this in this second round. You're looking at corner, edge rusher, potentially offensive line. The one caveat in there that might be best player available that not necessarily – a dire need would be running back. If Javonte Williams, which is likely, you know, it's a chance he's sitting there, what do you do in that situation? It's almost kind of like the Kyle Pitts situation, right? You had to take the best player on the board. Kyle Pitts was the best non-quarterback. He might have been the best player regardless of the quarterback. I had Trevor Lawrence at one. I had him at two. Right. You had to take him. He's a everybody's described him, and we'll talk about it here in a minute, but Javonte Williams in the second round might be the same scenario. So what do you do there? It'll be interesting to see where their needs and how they have guys ranked. Asante Samuel is a guy that's sitting there potentially, a guy you can go get. Ojulari from Georgia is sitting there. Ronnie Perkins, another edge rush guy that could potentially. Trayvon Morig, who's the number one safety in the – I had him rated the number 20 guy on the board. He's still in the draft, and we're getting into the second round. The 6'2", 205-pound, 210-pound safety from TCU. So there's some really quality players that probably have first-round grades on them that are going to be sitting there for the Falcons when they get ready.
I want all of those guys, Arch, to be honest with you. Let's get it. Do you think they might trade back into the third round? We get the second and third round tonight. Do you think there's any chance, because of our cap situation, they maybe move up and get more quality over quantity?
Well, I just think that, Mike, I think that, you know, you're sitting in what? We're going to get the fourth pick tonight. So you're you're kind of in the catbird seat there as far as getting a quality player. You talking about trading out of that 36 pick?
Oh, no, God, no. I'm trading back up, like in rounds 3 and 4. Yeah. I mean, in other words, going
back. Trying to get back into the third round, maybe in the back end of the first and the second round. I got you. I think there's certainly that possibility. I think that there is a lot of depth, and I think we talked here a week or so ago. There's a good depth from about 40 to 60 in here where you got guys that are impact players that can come in and affect your team. Edge rush, offensive line, DB. You've got a number of players that you've wide receiver. If you're thinking along the lines of, is there something going to happen to this roster come June 1? Is that something you need to look at as well? So, yeah, there's a lot of depth in there, so I could see that. Yeah, I could see you jumping back. There's some offensive linemen that are very interesting. Guys like Creed Humphrey, guys like that are the top of the board in their respective positions. It might be sitting there that you go in and maybe adjust that left guard position. Maybe you can address that as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't take anything off the board for Terry Fontenot today.
What do you think about Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle from Alabama? He is also available.
Yeah, he's a guy that's a highly productive interior guy. As you know, Carl, those guys are kind of hard to find. A guy that isn't just a run plugger, right? A guy that doesn't just eat up blocks. This guy had 8 sacks last year. He's a guy that is a disruptor in the middle. We know Grady can do that as well. Grady drew as many double teams, I think, if you go back and look at the numbers that a lot of these data companies throw out. Grady was double teamed as much as Aaron Donald last year. That makes it tough for him to get home. So if you got another guy that creates those kind of problems, Barmore is another one of those guys, or Barmore is one of those kind of guys, Carl, that had that first round grade, like we're talking about, back into the first round, and he's still on the board. he certainly is in play here.
Heard some of the stuff last night, Arch, but just for guys who didn't hear it, talk about the mismatches and, again, Arthur Smith's philosophy and how Kyle Pitts is going to work with or without Julio here.
Well, Mike, to categorize this guy as a tight end is an injustice because he's not a tight end. Yes, that's the position they want to label him as, and I guarantee you, in 5 years when his contract comes up, he's not going to be talking about tight end money. He's going to talk about wide receiver money. But for right now and for the next 5 years, he's going to be classified as a tight end, and let's hope the teams on the other side classify him as a tight end. There's nobody that covers tight ends in the National Football League is going to be able to handle this guy. You're going to have to cover this guy with a cover corner, and he's going to have to be a big cover corner. He stepped outside, and there's a tape, if you go ahead and look at it, Eric Stokes, excellent corner at Georgia. Tyson Campbell, who's probably going to come off in the next 15 drafts, probably 15 picks in the draft from Georgia as well. He beat both those guys one-on-one on just fade routes or screwing them in the ground with an inside breaking route. He's 6'6", 240 pounds, but he runs like a wide receiver at 4'4", and he has the agility of a wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, throw in a 7-footer wingspan to go get the football for you in the red zone. This is a dude from a nightmare matchup. I mean, this is the definition. You put his face right next to nightmare matchup, and that's who you're going to get with Kyle Pitts.
It's Dave Archer, guys, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, joining us as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day. We move the draft forward tonight, rounds 2 and 3. We got two picks early in three, or round 2 and 3. And Arch is breaking down the Kyle Pitts stuff. As far as, you know, defenses, I was talking a little bit about this, and I'd like for you to expand. You got to pick and choose if you're going to be in the nickel and dime or you're going to try to stay base. And if you stay base, that's the problem you're talking about, right? I mean, you know, we used to make fun of Mohamed Sanu when he first got here and said, you know, you put a linebacker on me, it's too slow. You know, you put a corner on me, I'm too big.
Can't cover me.
Well, that's really what we've got now, right?
Yeah, the problem is and Kyle Pitts improved his blocking significantly where he becomes that guy that can be on the field and affect the game in your two tight end sets, right? We know Hayden Hurst is a decent blocker. Not a great blocker either, but he's decent enough on the edge. Well, that's where Pitts is as well. Pitts improved his blocking enough this last season to where he now is a viable guy that can get up on that outside rusher or get to the next level and get a safety block or a linebacker that's scraping block and help you in the run game. You say, well, I don't want Kyle Pitts blocking. But if he's blocking and he's a viable part of that part of your run game, then now all of a sudden they're so much more dangerous because essentially if you've got Jones and Ridley on the field and then you've got Pitts and Hurst on the field, you could argue that you've got four receivers on the field and now you're in run sets. They put base in the game, which is either four linebackers and three down linemen or three linebackers and four down linemen. That's their base set. Somebody's got to cover those two tight ends. And now you've got him either locked on a strong safety or a linebacker. If they go nickel and they go with sub package and they bring in the lighter guys to cover, now they don't have enough lead in their ass to stop the run game because you got two offensive, you got two big tight ends that can come off the ball and block it. That's the problem from a schematic standpoint, the problems he creates. And then we just talked about him one-on-one with individual people. That's going to be a lot of problems for people to cover, especially if you get Ridley. Let's say you go slot and you got Pitts tight, and then you got Ridley and Jones in the slot to his side. What are you doing with that? How are you going to handle that? How do you double? Are you going to double Jones? Are you going to double Ridley? Are you going to double Pitts? I mean, that's a problem.
It's Dave Archer with us, guys. He and Wes Drew-ham will have the call starting in the fall. He joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Arch, so just to double down on the second round, we can make the case for Javonte Williams if he's there, edge rush, safety. We covered on all that. But what I ask you every time you're on about the guard position, and does this regime buy in Hennessy? What about a guard that would start, or a tackle that starts at guard, and they could maybe replace eventually Jake Matthews? You still think there's a good chance for offensive line with that second, with a third pick tonight?
I think there's a chance. Yeah, I think it's definitely in play, Mike. When you start talking about trying to address offensive line needs, I think that, you know, you're talking about 1A, 1B, 1C, right? They're all kind of in that same category. And so then at that point, that's where I talk about, well, you want a best player on the board to your need and which one is the higher qualified guy to maybe meet that need where it's not a reach. So I think all that can happen. I mean, when you start talking about interior offensive linemen, you've got Landon Dickerson. He's coming off of the injury at Alabama. Now he played some center. Quinn Meinertz, the kid out of Wisconsin Whitewater, drew a lot of attention, really had a great Senior Bowl. Wyatt Davis at Ohio State. Creed Humphrey can play guard and center. He's a guy that played at OU and was on those Joe Moore award-winning offensive lines at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley. There's a ton of guys. Trey Smith from Tennessee is a big road grading type guy that can play that tackle or play that guard position. There's a number of guys on the board, Mike, and I think some of those guys are going to be available for you in the third round should you squeeze the trigger some other direction in the second round.
Before we let you go, you know, all the conversation about Justin Fields, do you feel like I do? I feel like he ended up in a really good spot with Chicago and the way that thing played out last night.
Incredible. Just really cool for the kid. I think all of us that know and have had a chance to watch the kid as a high school player at Harrison High School in Kennesaw and then watch him, you know, the unfortunate, the way things worked out at Georgia and then to get his shot at Ohio State and blow it up like he did. Just really cool for him to go out the way he did and go to Chicago. He could start, guys. When you start talking about the five guys that came out, we know Lawrence is on the field. Probably a good chance that Zach Wilson's on the field. Hey, watch out. Watch out for Justin Fields to be the starter for the Chicago Bears in day one. And you got the red rifle and you got Nick Foles standing over there watching him play.
Exactly. Hey, by the way, were you blown away that Shanahan went with Trey Lance after all the Mac Jones talk?
I was. Not so much that. He's a real project, Mike. This is a guy that has 19 starts. We talked about him on your show. 16 of those came in one season. He's got a long motion. He's got kind of the Byron Leftwich, Randall Cunningham type of motion. Great athlete. I think he's a kid that could be really good. He's got a tremendous work ethic, and he's a good dude. But just really surprised they went there. What a good get for him. You talk about a guy that's a good kid in Mac Jones. Pretty cool opportunity for him to go to New England as well.
Arch, great job, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us today after the first round. We look forward to chopping it up with you next week after all this is said and done and kind of evaluating our team, man. Thank you again.
All right, fellas. I expect you guys to make good choices tonight in the draft now. Let's get it done.
Let's hope so.
I want impact players, pal. By the way, we picked up A.J. McCarron today, Carl, so we may take a flyer on a QB later, too. That might be something that happens. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, to have somebody with NFL experience, I know A.J. McCarron hasn't torn it up, but you got somebody with NFL experience, understands the verbiage and all of that. You go, all right, we've got that covered if we need it, but I know people still want to draft a quarterback maybe later on. What's the kid here from Atlanta that you want, Mike?
Oh, you mean Davis Mills?
Yes, Davis Mills. Lots of conversation about him. Everybody keeps talking about him.
Watch him go in the third round to the Raiders.
Okay, all right. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. We're going to go around the yard. We'll get the closing bell, see if you made any money today. 6 o'clock, Dan Mullen, coach of the Gators, who joined us earlier talking about Kyle Pitts. You don't want to miss it.
Latonya, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with the Braves.
I didn't know if we were going to go around the yard. Real quick before we talk Braves, Mike, guys have been hitting me up all day. We've had a good time today talking about your lawnmower, I guess, that's electric. So fill in our listeners one more time because I found this hilarious.
All right, my normal lawn guy. I got a one-man operation. I support local businesses down here on the south side, Carl. My boy Jesse was going down to the panhandle, so I didn't realize last minute I didn't have a yard guy. And so I got, you know, dandelions, weeds, and stuff. I got to get it trimmed up because, you know, I got to keep up appearances here in HOA land. So anyway, last night as we were hunkering down to watch the draft, Becky was out running errands. She goes, you want me to pick up a lawnmower? I go, yeah, go to Home Depot. So she's like, you want a gas? They got the battery thing. I go, yeah, go for the battery. Okay, you got to have the right battery. Okay, I think it's a nice product from DeWalt, but Carl, it takes about 90 minutes to charge up for 20 minutes. And then you can't mow just under an acre of a yard, you know, in 20 minutes, as I found out this morning.
No, you cannot. I mean, you got a lot of yard. Like I said, the tan's going to get better if you're going to be out there for that amount of time.
So normally I would not be wearing a hat when I'm on the show. You watch this on Twitch. I've been a hot, sweaty mess. We actually interviewed Charles Barkley. Carl was laughing. I get done with Barkley. I run downstairs before the charge runs out, and I try to get at least two or three strips of the side of the house done, Carl, and I come back, and then I got to recharge the damn thing. DeWalt makes like a charge that will last like for an hour. But, of course, you're going to pay like $300 for that battery. So they kind of got you by the short and curlies on this deal. Anyway, and I'm getting killed.
Yes, you are.
And again, it's a good product. It does a nice job. It's just I'm waiting for the right battery. But anyway, yes.
You got to get a lawnmower with gasoline. Come on, man.
Yeah, and then
how are you going to have one of the fastest cars on the planet? You got a lawnmower that done with its own battery.
You know, Carl, during COVID, I've looked inside myself, and I want to lessen my carbon footprint.
All right.
I need to be better for the planet. You know, you and I raced right past Earth Day last week. We didn't really pay it much mind, and I'm doing my part to save the planet with lithium-ion batteries that don't freaking charge. But anyway, so yes, Carl, the front quadrant that you see is done. The side part of the house is not done. The entire backyard is not finished. I'll be out mowing this thing till midnight. I'm going to wear a coal miner's helmet. You know, which hopefully will keep it charged with that battery.
Half a haircut with the yard right now. You got some of it done.
No, you nailed it. It is half a haircut. And as a matter of fact, when we replay Dan Mullen, I'm going to run downstairs and try to finish the backyard. Let's see how it works out.
I bet the battery runs out before the interview's up. All right, let's talk Braves. Hey, we've been waiting on these bats to heat up. They are going to take on Toronto, but not in Toronto, guys. It's down in Florida. They're not playing in Canada this year. So that is kind of a different quirky deal because they're basically playing at the minor league stadium where they have spring training. And it's going to be interesting for the Braves whose bats are heating up. One guy we've been waiting on, Marcell Ozuna.
High fly ball to no doubter. Look how far that baby goes over the Cubs bullpen.
Yeah, the Braves, unfortunately, the bats early for Ozuna, but Bryce Wilson was not sharp last night in a 3 days rest.
No, and we, you know, remember Snicker said, I'm going to watch him.
Well, you know, maybe an inning or two. I don't know.
He wasn't sharp. And so that's fine. The Braves lose last night. But the thing was, Ozuna, we need this. He was having fun. He took his selfie and did the whole thing and his shuffle. And that's cool. And we need to see more of that. But the other guy that's heating up is Austin Riley.
And Riley's going to make him pay this time. A base hit into right for Hayward. The five-time Gold Glover is up and throwing wildly to the plate. Albie scores, and the Braves are on the board in the fourth.
Yeah, you mentioned Ozzie Albie's 2-for-4 yesterday. The average is up to .226. Ozuna is slowly but surely getting there. He was the guy behind the turnaround with the Sage party, and we take 3 out of 4 last night. Again, most of us were watching the draft, so the Braves just get smoked in a laugher 9-3. But Austin Riley, 2-for-3. Dansby, though, the point I'm mentioning is Dansby and the Sage party. Dansby is still not hitting, Carl.
No. Well, he hit the night that he burned the Sage.
And then not much after that.
So we want to see, again, and it's rare, right, that you get everybody rolling on the same you know level. Freddie's hot. Riley's heating up. Acuña's just been Acuña. As a matter of fact, Brian Snicker talked about Riley and Acuña.
He had some really good bats here the last few days, just a lot of hard contact, and it was good to see Ronnie hit that ball the other way to knock a run in. So a lot of good things. It's a good homestand.
3 out of 4, man, as we said. Guess what, guys? You wouldn't know it, but the Braves are in first place. It's a tie for first place. I know that this is not the way we wanted the first month of the season to go. They cannot be this anemic at the plate, to Carl's point, all season long. The thing, you know what I need tonight? You know what I need tonight down there? And again, as you said, in this little minor league bandbox, it's a spring training facility, as Carl said. How about Drew Smyly? Do your job.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man, because the numbers are deceiving. The ERA isn't. I mean, he's got a 7 ERA right now. Part of that is because he's been giving up home runs. And when you give up home runs with guys on base, your ERA goes up. So let's hope that's not the case tonight as they take on Toronto. We go around the yard each and every day, guys, and talk about the Braves. And right now, Mike, when you look at these standings, you know, we were talking about the Hawks with Steve Koonin last hour and you know, where we're going to end up in this NBA playoff circle of, you know,
I don't like
games.
The play-in game, but I mean, I just want to, man, we're sitting at 4 is if we could just get DeAndre Hunter out there and just, you know, Trey and everybody get back on the same page. But boy, oh boy, it was so bad. And we joked around with Steve. We literally got humiliated by the Sixers. But when you consider what our roster was, you and I didn't even pay it much mind yesterday. We're so focused on the draft.
Yeah.
You say?
Well, and tonight, you know, I think he didn't say this because he couldn't, again, gambling purposes, but I think we're going to have a few more guys available, and I do think they're going to come out with a little attitude. Now, is that going to carry them to beat the Sixers? I don't know. But after the way that game ended, yeah, I think some guys felt some kind of way. Braves 12-13 on the season, but we're tied with Philly, and that's the point. You know, you look at the Braves and you go, you look at the Hawks and you go, all right, are we going to fall out of the top six, which is where we want to be? We don't want to be in this play-in tournament thing. And then the Braves, even though they've struggled, you're still right there. You're tied right for first place in the National League East, Mike. And that's what's crazy, even though we've been fussing about some of the pitching, not all, some of the bullpen, not all, mm-hmm. and some of these guys not hitting the way we expected them to hit.
It's technically a three-way tie. The Mets are percentage points behind the Phillies and the Braves, who are actually in first, but the Mets are a game under 500. Everybody should be watching out for us. Oh, yeah, pipe down, Brandon Nimmo. You know, and the Marlins, by the way, are just a half a game back. It's the most competitive division in Major League Baseball. Now, nobody's over 500 yet, but we know what a grind this can be. I need Smiley and Charlie Morton to do their jobs, but Smiley tonight, especially, again, and maybe the Braves put up a 10 spot tonight. Who knows? Let's hope that these guys can just get on. There's no way statistically, Carl, they were going to be this anemic at the plate for more than a month. It's just a slow start, and it was a slow spring.
It really was. Hey, guys, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're live on Twitch, ATL929 The Game. Click the exclusive subscribe button there to get exclusive content, should I say. Mm. And follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. You can see his lawnmower and how he cuts the yard. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show's Dukes and Bell, 929.
And now I'm getting all the advice. Man, we use gas to cut grass down here in Coweta, says Marcus Wilder. Another guy says, by the way, he could have bought a new riding mower by the time he has enough batteries to mow his lawn without having to wait on them to charge.
I totally agree.
You know what? This is a healthy for the earth purchase.
Just take it back. Yeah, or go get another one.
You know what? The ball busting about me being green is brought to you by Hootswings. Hootswings, look for the orange awning, three locations around Metro Atlanta. Go get the wings, man. Matter of fact, tonight's the perfect night. Get some Hey Man Ale if you're looking for it. We know for a fact they've got our beer at all three locations, Reynoldstown, Church Street in Decatur, and over there in Cougar Country, Peace Street Corners. Go to, again, Hootswings.com. And go grab it. Before we get out of here, Carl, let's set the closing bell. See if we made some loot. And survey says, not today. Stocks fall on a Friday, but S&P was up for the month of April, gained 5%. 185 points down was the Dow Jones. S&P was down 30. NASDAQ was down 119. So not the best day. Maybe your retirement fund made it okay. Ours, not so much. It's brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Get the IRS off your back, Jack. You got more time to file, and maybe you've been living, well, like I did. Like an animal, Carl, trying to hide behind the bushes when the IRS lady was in your lobby. Call the folks at Alliance Tax Solutions today.
All right, man. Coming up, Dan Mullen. We chased him down. He is literally on vacation, but said, I'll come on with Dukes and Bell because I want to talk about my man Kyle Pitts and let Atlanta know what you got. He did just that, and you'll hear it coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.